Welcome in to another exciting edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. And tonight it's the Florida Panthers and the Anaheim Ducks, a renewal of that 1993 expansion rivalry for the Panthers and the Ducks. It'll be back-to-back contest because the Panthers will meet Anaheim in Anaheim coming up on Tuesday night when they begin their upcoming West Coast road trip, their last real trip west this season. So all the more reason to get out there tonight. If you don't have your tickets, get them ASAP. Panthers and the Anaheim Ducks tonight at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise, a 6 p.m. face-off. If you can't make it, though, we'd love to see you there. 5:30 Panthers preview across the radio network. So whether you're tuned in on our flagship home 560 WQAM in Miami-Dade and Broward counties, Real Radio 92.1 or 1230 The Gambler up in the Palm Beaches, Real Radio 101.7 on the Treasure Coast, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys, or if you pick up your free Panthers app, hit that radio button for free in the top right corner and get our broadcast for free. You can do that tonight and any night. We welcome you aboard this evening. We'll be on the air with Panthers preview at 5:30 p.m. And again, as we count it down over the course of the hour, again, Doug Plagans with you. Dan Day's on the other side of the glass. We're going to recap a little bit of the week that was for the Panthers, who are looking to rebound tonight against Anaheim. We'll look ahead to tonight's game a bit. We'll hear a few sound bites from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice here in just a moment. Coming up next segment, I'll be joined by Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald. Does a great job covering the Panthers and, well, lots of things here in South Florida. We'll visit with Jordan coming up in segment number two. And then later on in the program, I'll be joined by Panthers defenseman, second year over here in North America for Uvis Balinskas. We will talk to him coming up later on in the program, a one-on-one conversation I had with Uvis Balinskas later on in the show. So again, lots to get to as we look back at the week that was, as we prepare for the week ahead. In mentioning what lies ahead for the Panthers, the SeatGeek road ahead, looking at the upcoming action for the Panthers, it'll be tonight's game at home, 6 o'clock face-off, 5:30 Panthers preview on the radio network, and then it's off to the road for four straight. And it's an important road trip for the Panthers for a number of reasons, but also just nice to be able to check this one off coming up. And obviously, you hope that you get the positive results, everything that goes along with it, but to be able to be done with the Mountain and Pacific time zone travel for the Panthers before the end of the month of January, that could be a scheduling advantage moving into the second half for this Panthers team. So, again, the Panthers will start up this upcoming road trip Tuesday night, 10 Eastern, in Anaheim. And then one night later, Wednesday night, 10 Eastern, the Panthers will visit Los Angeles. The Panthers will visit the Sharks out in San Jose, 10 Eastern on Saturday, a week from tonight. And then a week from tomorrow, they wrap up the trip with an 8 Eastern matchup in Vegas against the Golden Knights, Stanley Cup final rematch from a couple of years ago. And then the Panthers' next home game after this game tonight will be on the 29th, Wednesday the 29th, when the Los Angeles Kings come to town. And for all your Panthers tickets, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Well, we turn it back a few days, going back to earlier in the week, because we're going to take you through the week that was. The Panthers were looking to rebound from a loss Monday night in Philadelphia when they went to take on the high-flying New Jersey Devils on Tuesday evening. And it was a game that had a bit of a playoff-type feel. And on Tuesday night, the Panthers were able to come away with a 2-1 shootout win over the Devils. It was the two second-place teams in the Eastern Conference. The Panthers got that all-important second point. Here are the highlights as they aired on the Panthers Radio Network presented by Baptist Health.
Boquist to Verhaeghe, dropped off Anton Lundell, poked away and up the near side. Here's Hughes, hands it along for Bratt, couldn't connect with him. Schmidt back into the neutral zone, Boquist near side for Verhaeghe. He'll cruise in over the line out front, Boquist a shot, he scores! Jesper Boquist gets the Panthers on the board. The first goal in this game, the Panthers strike first early in the third period. And it's Jesper Boquist right out in front. He beats Markstrom, 1-0 Panthers. Barkov will go right to left across your radio as he will pick it up from center ice. Important situation here to say the least. Here's Barkov, zigs and zags in through the left circle, cuts out front, low shot, he scores, and Barkov ties things up here in the shootout. Lundell takes it from center ice. Heads off to his right. Top of the circle. Front of the net. Shot! He scores! And Anton Lundell ends it. The Panthers take it tonight. 2-1 in the shootout here in New Jersey. Anton Lundell, what a move there, and he beats Markstrom to end the game, and the Panthers get the big 2 points here tonight. A big win for the Panthers to end the trip.
So the Panthers back on Tuesday night, a 2-1 shootout win over the New Jersey Devils. Paul Maurice loved the game the Panthers brought that night. It was an important win. And in mentioning the Panthers head coach Paul Maurice here, he was following that one, his thoughts on the big Tuesday night win in New Jersey, a game that he wants to see the Panthers be able to replicate night to night.
Yeah, I loved our game. It's a difficult thing on back-to-back. But we were committed to playing as five guys. Like, you didn't see any stretch in our game. There's no looping in our game. And that's what you see on back-to-back. So I thought mentally tough game for us, and we rose to it. And I thought straight through our lines on our back end, we all played the same game. There's some good saves for both goaltenders. Everybody had a piece, and it was a great road win.
So Paul Maurice loved the game from his team back on Tuesday night, that win over New Jersey. Now the Panthers back on Thursday night, they were tripped up by a hot Red Wings team. The Panthers played Detroit for the first of three total matchups this season. Big game within the Atlantic Division back on Thursday. Detroit, a team that, well, they were looking like they might have been falling out of it at one point in time. They made a head coaching change shortly after Christmas, and their fortunes have changed quite a bit. And Detroit now has won 8 of its last 9. They've put themselves back into the wild card hunt, into the conversation as far as playoff spots are concerned. And their power play has been rolling along at a really, really big clip. And, well, it was that power play of Detroit that made the Panthers pay back on Thursday evening. 3 power play goals for the Red Wings, who won that game Thursday night in Sunrise by a 5-2 score. So now the Panthers find themselves looking to bounce back once again here this evening when they welcome in the Ducks. Here's the head coach of the Panthers, Paul Maurice, yesterday when I asked him about his thoughts on the matchup with Anaheim, a young, hungry Ducks team.
Yeah, I think they've added some strength to their blue line, and that really changes what you're capable of doing. Some of their younger players are aging in. They're starting to they compete hard, and they're quick. I don't know. You guys may see it different. There's just no easy nights in this league. The parity has brought that, and it's way different than it was 15, 20 years ago when the bottom half of the team just could not compete with the top half of the league. We don't feel that now. The Western Conference games, when you get into the back half of the season, they're more and more unusual, it seems, because you just don't see these teams very often. We'll do our normal prep, because we would not want to give the impression in the room that we're taking a team lightly. We'll do our normal prep that we do for every team, but our focus right now is just on where we're at.
Paul Maurice talking about the matchup against the Anaheim Ducks. The Panthers will see the Ducks tonight and then Tuesday out in Anaheim when they kick off their upcoming road trip. Speaking of the upcoming road trip, the Panthers, they've been without star defenseman Aaron Ekblad for the last handful of games here. He's been out with an injury. They hope to have him returning sooner rather than later and hope to potentially have him on the upcoming 4-game road trip. Here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. One last soundbite from him. He was asked about where specifically Aaron Ekblad has been missed.
He touches all parts of our game now, the top of the power play, a big part of the penalty kill with Gustav, and plays against the other team's best every night. It's a major thing to do to pull one of your top-pairing defensemen out of the lineup. Really, since Christmas, we've kind of dealt with that, with Mikkola being out and then Aaron being out. But we've learned some things, too, and we've gotten some players that come in to fill those spots have played pretty darn well for us, so we're excited about that.
It's the Panthers and the Ducks tonight. That was Panthers head coach Paul Maurice talking about, again, where they've noticed the big void of Aaron Ekblad not being there, but they hope to have him back sooner rather than later. Take the next step in becoming the ultimate Panthers fan by joining the Panthers Kids Club. Kids 14 and under can become members for free and receive exclusive benefits, including free entries in a monthly raffle, special offers, and more. Upgrade to an all-star membership to also receive a Panthers merch pack, 2 complimentary tickets to a select Panthers home game, and other additional benefits. Go to FloridaPanthers.com/KidsClub to sign up today. Folks, we're just getting started here on Panthers Insider. Panthers and the Ducks tonight at 6. We hope to see you there. Later on in the program, I'll visit with Panthers defenseman Uvis Polinskis. But joining us next from the Miami Herald, does a great job covering the Panthers, Canes football, really a little bit of everything for the Miami Herald. Jordan McPherson, my friend and yours, he's going to be joining us on the other side of the break. Stay tuned for that. We'll preview tonight's game. We'll talk all things Panthers. Again, Doug Plagans here with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. This is the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans with you talking Florida Panthers hockey as always on a Saturday morning. Tonight, it's the highly anticipated renewal of the rivalry of the 1993 expansion, part one, because the Panthers will open up their road trip that starts Tuesday in Anaheim as well. It's the Panthers and the Ducks tonight, 6 o'clock faceoff, 5:30 Panthers preview across the radio network, 560 WQAM. If you're tuned in, Miami-Dade and Broward counties, 1230 The Gambler, Real Radio 92.1 in the Palm Beaches, Real Radio 101.7 on the Treasure Coast, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. The Panthers app, always a great place to go, takes all the guesswork out of it. Hit that radio button, top right corner. It always has our broadcast. Again, Doug Plagans here with you, talking all things Panthers, and a special guest stopping by from the Miami Herald, Jordan McPherson, kind enough to take some time out for us. Jordan, good morning. How are you? Thanks for joining the show once again. And are you excited for, like I said, the renewal, the 93 expansion rivalry tonight?
Yeah, well, good morning, Doug, and very excited again. It's going to be a great game again. Get to see the Ducks twice in the span of, what, 3, 4, 5 days? It's going to be a good one. Again, don't get to see the Ducks too often, and yeah, let's see what happens.
Some good young talent over on the Ducks side. Even I guess looking big picture, though, Jordan, we've seen this a couple of times this season. The Panthers had New Jersey for back-to-back home games. When they played the Jets earlier in the season, it was, you know, back-to-back games in two different locations, obviously. Of course, you had Finland. That's to be expected. You're going to play the same team two games in a row. But do you like this in the schedule? I honestly kind of like it as a little bit of a wrinkle from time to time in the schedule to have the same team two straight games.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, especially since a lot of the times the Panthers have been playing teams that are more likely not going to be in the playoffs with these back-to-back matchups, and it gives a tiny bit of a playoff feel, whether it's the home-and-home or both games at the same site. It gives you a little anticipation for what's going to happen down the road. Again, they had it with Tampa as well, with the home-and-home. So, again, you're going to have to experience and learn how to play teams consecutive nights, especially if the Panthers want to make another deep playoff run like they have the last few years. This is giving them a little bit of a sample of what, again, they're going to be expecting once we get into the Stanley Cup playoff time.
Jordan McPherson, Miami Herald here with us, and a good segue there talking about making deep playoff runs, which this Panthers team hopes to do again, which they have done now back-to-back years. Starting off with a big picture question, Jordan, because we've just kind of crossed the halfway point in the National Hockey League slate. How do you feel like the Panthers have handled being the defending Stanley Cup champions? I know Paul Maurice has talked about it, and they were used to this last year too. They're getting everybody's best every single night. And despite that, despite the condensed schedule, and despite a loss last time out against Detroit just a couple of nights ago, the Panthers have themselves in a spot where they look firmly entrenched to be battling for that top spot in the Atlantic.
Yeah, I mean, they're second in the Atlantic entering the game against Anaheim, and they've hit a little bit of a low right now. They've dropped 7 of their last 11, but almost every one of those games, save for the 2 shutout loss they had at the beginning of that to Tampa and Montreal, they've all been really close games, either one goal, 2 goals, or one goal and then an empty net to seal it one way or the other. And that's really where this team has thrived in the past, and it needs to figure out how to thrive again. Because when you get to the playoffs, all of these games are more likely not going to be tightly contested. And that's what Paul Maurice likes to see. He wants to see them playing in these tight games, whether it's win or loss right now. He wants them to get comfortable in the uncomfortable, which is basically what they learned to do before. And yeah, they're on a bit of a lull, like I said, dropped 7 their last 11, but every team goes through a lull. I mean, the Panthers, they had a stretch. I think they lost 9 of 12 last year. 2 years ago, they were basically, their backs were against the wall just to get into the playoffs. So every team's going to go through something like this. It's a matter of when do they come out of it, and when they do come out of it, will they be consistently being able to win? That's going to be the main thing I'm looking forward to from now, I guess, until Four Nations, because, again, we got about 3 weeks or so until they have that little bit of a break where they'll get the reset. I want to see how they finish this portion of the schedule off, too, to see what's going to happen as they get into those final couple months.
Jordan McPherson, Miami Herald, kind enough to stop by and chat with us Panthers right in the thick of the middle of the schedule here. And you look across the whole league, Jordan, I mean, night to night, are you already doing standings? I know I'm one of the earliest standings watchers involved in the National Hockey League. I start watching the standings in game one because I've seen how much 1 point can make a difference when all the dust settles at the end. But are you amazed at how many teams are in this thing right now? I think you could probably, if you looked at the two conferences, there are probably 26 teams that feel like they have a chance to be playing playoff hockey this time of the year. It makes it exciting, doesn't it?
Oh, it definitely does. No, there's a lot of parity in the league this year. I'm not one who's looking at standings yet. I usually wait until after the All-Star break. I'll start taking a look at where things stand. After the trade deadline is really when I start fully looking at everything on a night-to-night basis. But again, there's a lot of teams. I mean, you look at a team like Detroit, for example. They were looking like they were going to be out of it. Now they've won 8 of their last 9. They're pushing themselves to be in consideration for a wild card spot. We know how loaded the Atlantic is. We know how tough that's going to be to figure out who gets the top 3 spots. And if the 2 wild card spots both come out of the Atlantic, which is what it's been looking like for most of the season. And that's going to be the interesting part for the Florida Panthers as they go through the rest of their slate. A lot of divisional games to close out the season. Obviously, they have this West Coast trip coming up, but after that, it's a lot of divisional games to go down the stretch. It's going to be very interesting and very important as they go through the rest of the slate to see what they can do to, even if at minimum, just tread water and keep where they are in one of those top 3 spots as they move forward through these final few months.
Jordan, who's been your biggest Panthers pleasant surprise this season, if you were to pick? Because you're going to have Reinhart and Barkov and those guys producing. Who's been the biggest guy that's maybe stepped in, taken on an increased role from before, or maybe somebody that came in from elsewhere that's made a splash that you feel has made the biggest impact?
Yeah, I'm going to give you 2 guys, one forward, one defenseman. For the 4, I'm going to go with Jesper Boqvist. Just coming into camp, we thought he was going to be probably somewhere on the 4th line. He's really, him pairing, working with Anton Lundell on that 3rd line has been a sight to see. I mean, he's up to 10 goals already, ties his career high with a lot of games left to play. He's playing on the penalty kill. He's finding ways to impact the game whenever he is on the ice. He's been very good to see, especially considering what his path was last year. Got bought out by Boston. He ends up coming here for the minimum. And he's flourished in that role. And it's looking like another one of those low risk, high reward signings acquisitions that Bill Zito's been known for since he took over here. And then on the defenseman side, I have to go through his Balinskas. I was very high on him coming into camp. I liked what I saw in the limited sample size last season and thought, if this guy just gets a chance, I think he's going to make an impact. And he's gotten some power play time. He's hovered around between the second and third defense pairings, depending on Aaron Ekblad and Nico Mikkola's status when they were both injured throughout various points as of late. But Uvis Balinskas has been a very pleasant surprise. And I still remember when I talked with him during training camp, and I asked him, I went, what do you think you were able to show the team last year despite not being able to play much once the team got healthy? And he just deadpan going, I don't know. I think that I can play in the NHL. And he's proving them right now.
Uvis Balinskas, who we are going to hear from next segment here on the Panthers Insider Show.
I teed you up there, Doug.
There you go. Exactly. He's going to be coming up in just a little bit. Something else, Jordan, that's going to be coming up in just a little bit, and I know you're going to be working on some stuff in relation to it. So we'll let you keep some of it under wraps so all the readers can be surprised when it comes out. But Dmitry Kulikov is staring ahead at game number 1,000 in the National Hockey League here before too long. And he's 5 away at this point in time. He started his career as a Panther, came back second tour of duty, first season back. He's a part of the Stanley Cup champion, he's involved in one of the iconic plays in Panthers history. His defensive play helped set up Sam Reinhart going the other way to score what ended up being the game winner in game 7. Your thoughts on Dmitry Kulikov's place in Panthers lore, because like I said, he's got time left on his contract here. He's back where it started. Fans love him. He's still playing good hockey. And
when it's all said and done, he's going to have totals that are, you know, up near the tops of the charts on a lot of different categories for the Panthers all time. Just looking at Kulikov, what comes to mind when you look at him and assessing his place in Panthers lore?
Yeah, I mean, just to start, just the full circle moment for him. I mean, drafted in the first round by the Panthers, spends his first 7 years here, and then bounces around the league for 7 years, has 3 years in Winnipeg, but other than that, it's bouncing around from team to team, and then finds his home again here last year. Signs a one-year deal when the Panthers needed help on the blue line because they knew Aaron Ekblad and Brandon Montour were going to be out to start the year. So they tried to get as many veterans as they could to help fill that gap and then see where things went. And he just reestablished himself down here. Did enough, obviously, that play in Game 7 of the Cup Final to save a goal, and then it helped turn around and go to the game winner. That's a play that I watch on loop a lot when I'm just looking back at stuff. I apparently look at it more than Kulikov does from what he has told us, but he says that whenever he does think about it or something triggers the memory, he gets goosebumps from that. And it's moments like that that is driving him now. He signed a contract extension with the Panthers over the offseason, 4-year deal. So he's looking like he'll be here for a bit, very likely could be ending his career here after starting it here. And in terms of his spot, I mean, he has the franchise record for hits. He's going to be up there in games played. Obviously, Aaron Ekblad is going to be holding that spot as well, the two of them still playing together. But in terms of just what he's meant this year specifically, I mean, he's taken on top pair duties with Aaron Ekblad missing a lot of time recently. His minutes are up. He's so valuable on the penalty kill. And you can just see how appreciative he is of being a Florida Panther, especially this being his second stint. He saw where the Panthers were during his first time when, let's face it, they were at the bottom of the league. Attendance was very minimal. And now he comes back when they're on the upswing. And the appreciation for watching what this team is, what this franchise has become, and the fact that he has a part in helping build it after seeing where it was at those lower stages. He's very appreciative of that. And the franchise and the fans, I'm sure, are as appreciative of him for what he has done.
Yeah, game number 1,000, again, as things currently stand, would be that first game back on, I believe, the 29th against the Los Angeles Kings. It's a Wednesday night game, so again, assuming everything just keeps rolling along here as planned, that would be game number 1,000 for him, first game back from that road trip that starts up on Tuesday night when the Panthers go to Anaheim. Panthers and the Ducks tonight. We'll get to one on that here in a moment, but a couple before we let you get going, Jordan. I want to take it off the ice a little bit because obviously you do a lot of great work covering Canes football as well for the Miami Herald. And you're a cool story because you have to keep tabs on just about everything in your line of work. I guess two-parter, how do you keep tabs on just about everything? And there are a lot of folks out there who aspire to have jobs like we have, and they always ask about how do you get into the business. I guess this kind of goes right along with it. You need to make yourself well versed on a lot of things, and you have to be ready at a moment's notice to cover a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to use the cliche that's used in sports: the best ability is availability, and that's sort of how I started off at the Herald. Got hired end of 2017, start of 2018. I was general assignment. I was at the office, and they would be like, hey, we need you to help with this. Hey, we need you to help with this. Hey, can you help with that? Hey, do you know enough about this? And it's just the more that I knew, the more I had at least a base knowledge of what was going on in South Florida, helped me out. I mean, I'll go back to my first instance of helping out the Panthers. I was an intern in 2016. George Richards, very good friend, was on vacation, so I ended up helping cover development camp. I knew nothing about hockey whatsoever and spent a week, ended up reaching out to a friend and went, hey, here's a list of Panthers players in development camp. Who should I know about? Ended up writing a feature on Henrik Borgstrom as everyone. First round pick at the time. So, and then just the fact that I started learning enough about hockey that I got interested in it and was doing what I could to try to break through in there. I've covered the Marlins. I've covered UM. In terms of being prepared and getting ready for everything, it's just being as organized as possible. Every Monday, I look through the week ahead, what games are being played, what availabilities I have, what stories I want to work on, and I try to just map it out as much as possible. rarely does any of it ever go right because that's just the nature of the business. But having at least an idea of what I want to do and how I need to map everything out at least gives me a sense of in the back of my head going, okay, it's Tuesday. I have to write this feature today. Okay, it's Wednesday. Panthers are playing this game against this opponent. I have this storyline to cover. Okay, UM's playing Georgia Tech. Are they gonna screw up and not kneel down and end up losing the game? But, or again, Cam Ward, Carson Beck, all the news that's been going on now, just having as being as prepared as possible is the best advice I can give just because you never know what's going to happen. So if you can control what you know is going to happen, it helps you prepare for or helps you be more ready for everything else that could come with it.
What is the most, unexpected sport or sporting event that you ever had to go out and cover, whether it be here down in South Florida with the Herald or elsewhere?
When I was a senior at UF, I was freelancing for the Herald. So I interned with them summer before my senior year, summer of 2016, and then freelanced for them in my senior year, mostly football, a little bit of basketball. The high school state cheerleading championship was held on UF's campus. I get a phone call from the main high school writer, editor, a day before going, "Hey, what are you doing on Saturday?" And all I said was, "Why?" He goes, "We need you to cover state cheerleading." I went, "How do you do that?" And end up spending 2 days, I believe it was about 5.5 hours each day, just watching high school cheerleaders do their routines. And then it's like, okay, how do I know who won? And it's literally, you don't find out until the end. They just give the scores. I'm like, I have no idea how this judged. I have no idea how this scored. "Hey, coach, congratulations." It was just like, it was the one time I didn't really know how to process it just because it was so out there from my norm. I mean, when I was at UF, I covered a little bit of everything. I covered swimming and diving. I covered soccer, softball, gymnastics. I covered enough lacrosse. I've covered enough to know, like, the mainstream sports. But when I got told to cover cheerleading, it was different.
It was a new experience.
It was a very new experience, yes.
And I'm sure you did a great job with it. And I guess it goes back to when somebody asks you, "Hey, what do you know about this?" Maybe sometimes it's not much, but give me the night, and I'll learn enough to keep it on track. And it sounds like that's what you did.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, again, as long as I had enough time, give me even just 12 hours before to prep, I can try to get as much base knowledge as I can. And that's the main thing on my end, is figure out the bare minimum of what I need to know if I'm going to something that could be remotely blind or a first time experience, and then just try to build on it as the event, the opportunity, the coverage, the press conference, as it goes, just try to build on it.
Jordan, what's the biggest thing you want to see out of the Panthers if they're going to have success tonight against the Anaheim Ducks?
Keep the game at 5-on-5. That's the biggest thing. I mean, you look at this 11-game stretch, they've been on the penalty kill 43 times. They've given up power play goals. I believe it's 12 of those 43, so it's only a 72% conversion rate on the PK. They were hovering around 82, 83 before that. Their PK, when they're on, is usually very good. Obviously, not having Aaron Ekblad adds a wrinkle into that. But if they can keep the game at 5-on-5, they have really excelled, especially in a lot of these closer games. And it's usually been special teams that's been making the difference. If they can keep the game at 5-on-5, I like their chances.
Jordan, tell the folks out there where they can find you, and is there anything coming down the pipe here that people should be keeping an eye out for that you're working on?
Yeah, so you can find me at the Miami Herald website, miamiherald.com/sports. You can find me on X, formerly Twitter, and Instagram at J_McPherson1126. I'm also on Blue Sky. I haven't used that as much, still tinkering with it, so no need to follow me on there just yet. And in terms of stuff that's in the works, obviously, like you mentioned, going to be doing a feature on Dmitry Kulikov as we get closer to the game 1000. Most likely we'll be publishing that once they get back from the West Coast swing. I'm also working on a feature on Gustav Forsling, just the fact that with Aaron Ekblad out and with Nico Mikkola out beforehand, you're seeing even more just the value of his consistency. And Gustav is one of those guys who he plays so well and rarely does anything wrong that most people, you can take it for granted at times. And sometimes it goes unnoticed because a lot of times with defensemen, you're noticing when they do mess up. And Gustav Forsling over the last few years has been one of the top defensive defensemen in the NHL since he came to the Panthers, especially these last 2 years. So giving him a little bit of love, giving him a little bit of the time of day that he honestly deserves, and feel like me specifically, I haven't done enough to do that yet. So I'm giving him that time of day. And on the football side, I'm going to have a feature on new Miami Hurricanes quarterback Carson Beck that's going to come out most likely on Sunday. Just a little bit of insight into him, how Cam Ward and what he did last year sort of plays a role into why Carson Beck is coming in, and just what to expect from him as the Hurricanes head into 2025.
He's Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald. Jordan, thanks so much as always for stopping by here. I know we kept you a little long, but great stuff as always, and we look forward to seeing you out at the arena tonight.
Yeah, thanks so much, Doug.
That's Jordan McPherson, the Miami Herald. We mentioned it during the conversation. Uvis Balinskas is going to be joining us coming up. Well, we'll hear a conversation that I had with Uvis Balinskas. So he joined us already. You'll hear the conversation next. Big thanks once again to Jordan McPherson. Coming up next, a chat with Uvis Balinskas, Panthers defenseman. That's on the other side of the break. Doug Plagan's with you. It's Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Well, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagan's with you, Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Big thanks again to Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald for stopping by last segment, talking all things Florida Panthers, as we are and as we do every single week. But great to have Jordan on board with us last segment. Coming to you today from the Baptist Health Iceplex at the FTL War Memorial. And folks, a reminder, Baptist Health Iceplex at FTL War Memorial is open and ready for you. Register today for public skate sessions, hockey programs for kids and adults, curling, and more. Come enjoy this brand new community gym in the heart of downtown Fort Lauderdale. Go to FTLWarMemorial.com for all program details and to sign up. It's the Panthers and the Anaheim Ducks tonight. 6 o'clock faceoff at Amerant Bank Arena and Sunrise. 5:30, we're on the air with Panthers Preview. You don't want to miss this one. Panthers hitting the road for four straight after tonight. So we hope to see you out there. Get your tickets if you don't have them. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK, of course, to get your tickets. And a reminder, join the 93 Society email club. Stay up to date on all things Panthers. Be the first to know about special ticket offers, exclusive events, and more. Sign up now at FloridaPanthers.com. That is the place to go. Well, I had a chance to catch up yesterday with Panthers defenseman Uvis Balinskas. And well, let's get right into that one-on-one chat. First thing I asked him was how he feels that this season, this title defense season, has gone so far.
The season's been going kind of maybe a little bit up and down for us, but I think we've been handling it pretty good with all the trips and with the tough schedule we got. And yeah, I think it's been good so far.
And a couple things on that, just being the defending Stanley Cup champions, do you guys feel like every time you play a team that it's a game they have circled on the calendar, do you feel like you guys are kind of the hunted right now by other teams in the league?
Yeah, probably. I would say so. And if I would be on the other team, I would probably be so excited to play champions. Like that's you always want to show your best game on the game on those games. So yeah, I think every team comes out with a little extra energy against us.
And just taking it back a little bit, we've talked to you a little bit about it before too, but if you look back at last season, everything you were able to learn throughout last season, being around for the playoff run and everything like that, now that you've gone, you know, over half of this season, how much did last season benefit you, and how much were you able to learn going through last season, and how'd that prepare you for this time around?
Yeah, sure. That was big for me to be around the team last year and see how do guys prepare themselves and how they get ready for the games, what they do on the off days and all that. And yeah, I could learn so much last year with the season, with the playoffs and everything. And yeah, I can prepare myself better this year, this season, and get ready for the games better. And yeah.
And as this season's going along, what are the biggest things you've maybe learned about your game, biggest things you've continued to learn about the National Hockey League, and the things you've continued to prepare yourself for night to night?
Yeah, it's kind of my first like full NHL season, still learning a lot. But yeah, just about handling my days and how to treat my body, what's better for my body to get ready for the games. I think that's the most important thing. If your body feels good, you can play good.
And for you guys, this season, I want to ask you, too, a nice record against the teams that were playoff opponents, whether it be last year or the year before, teams that have been rivals of you guys, whether it be Tampa Bay. I'm sure you've felt some extra juice when you guys play the Lightning, maybe some extra excitement when you guys play the Carolina Hurricanes, for example. Do you feel like there is some added excitement to those rivalry type of matchups, games against teams like the Rangers too, teams like that, or Edmonton, or any of those teams that have been heavyweights, contenders in the league that you guys do have a history with as a team?
Yeah. I don't know if why it's like that, but yeah, on those games there's, as you said, there's that extra juice all the time, and yeah, it's, you just want to be the best team out there on those days. But we have to be like that every game. We have to learn also play like that against the teams that are not playoff teams, and but yeah, and on those days we had to find that extra juice, like you said, and yeah, be the best team every game.
And taking it away from the Panthers a little bit, I know you've gotten some recognition back home in Latvia as well for what you've been able to accomplish. And just want to ask you too, what's it like being able to get that recognition back home? I mean, you're playing a long way away from home right now, but the fact that people over there are keeping track of you, that people over there really care about what you're doing, what's it mean to get that kind of recognition?
It's I never really thought it's gonna happen, but yeah, it's nice that it's pretty awesome that people show some love to me, and I really appreciate everything.
And it seems like Latvia has really grown as a hockey country as well. I've never been over there. I know a lot of the folks tuned in here maybe haven't been over there, but if you could kind of just give us a little bit of what it feels like as far as, you know, a hockey landscape in Latvia. How much, how big is it, and how much has it grown in the time that you've seen the sport grow in your lifetime?
Yeah, the hockey back in Latvia, it's a big thing for us, for our people, and every world championship, people are cheering for us. They're coming to the world championships to be there for us, and also the under 20, they did great in the tournament too, in World Juniors, and can't really tell you much about the system and everything back home in Latvia, but I think the hockey's been growing, and we've been having some accomplishments last year, so it's pretty good for our country.
And I know sports is kind of a great unifier across the entire world, but and a rallying point for a lot of countries too. You and I were talking before we started recording, Kristaps Porzingis is from Latvia and obviously an NBA champion now. How can you, is there a way to describe the excitement that, you know, the people of Latvia have as sports fans when they are, you know, how much does it mean to see people over, you know, globally, over here in North America, wherever, having great success in athletics?
For a small country as Latvia is, it's great that someone from Latvia can be part of NBA champions. That's first time ever happened that, and also Stanley Cup champions, and just, it doesn't matter which league or anything, but if someone from Latvia can be part of a champion team, it's great for our country, and we really love it.
I know you mentioned Sandis Ozolinč was a favorite of yours growing up. What was your favorite? Do you have a favorite Sandis Ozolinč story? Is there anything to the background of why he was a favorite player of yours?
Yeah, I was just, when I was a kid, I was just a huge fan of him, and then I was lucky enough when I played in the Dinamo Riga team. He was a coach there for a year, a little bit longer. And just to be around him and listen to the stories he told, and it was just cool. And learn from him and get advice from him. It's it was just cool and really helped me.
You spent some time as a Panther too, and last thing here for you, a couple of games coming up against the Anaheim Ducks, one home, one on the road. What's going to be the biggest key for you guys in this little two-game series, if you will, and do you like seeing the same team back-to-back?
Yeah, it's happened a couple times this year already, to see the same team on back-to-back games, and it's going to be a six-period game, a little bit longer, and I think we have to keep doing what we're doing, maybe stay out of the box a little bit more, and I think We're gonna win those games.
I know. I said I had one more, but one more for you. I know a big thing that Paul Maurice has talked about is making sure you guys are playing a game that you can duplicate night to night, that you can, you know, look at the big picture and say, this is how we want the game to look every single night. How important is it night to night? You guys know you're a good team. Sometimes you may not get the outcome you desire, but to be able to put together a game night to night that you want to play, how important is it to keep that big picture as you guys push into the second half here?
Yeah, if we can keep doing the same thing, and yeah, maybe something is not clicking some nights, but if we can keep doing the same thing over and over again, yeah, it's going to help us in a longer time. And yeah, that's how we want to play in playoffs too. So yeah, if we can keep doing that, everything's going to be all right.
Panthers defenseman Uvis Balinskas right there. We thank him for his time. Conversation that I had with him after practice yesterday. Panthers getting set to take on the Anaheim Ducks tonight at Amerant Bank Arena. It's going to be a 6 o'clock face-off, 5:30 Panthers preview, 560 WQAM. If you're tuned in, Miami-Dade and Broward Counties, Real Radio 92.1, 1230 The Gambler in the Palm Beaches, Real Radio 101.7 up on the Treasure Coast, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. You can also hit that radio button top right corner of your free Panthers app and hear our broadcast each and every game. Panthers going into tonight's game 3 points behind the division-leading Toronto Maple Leafs in the Atlantic, so looking to close the gap there if they can get a win, start to chip away. Other action across the league today, Flyers at New Jersey getting started in just a couple hours, 3 o'clock Eastern, Boston at Ottawa, 4 Eastern, Dallas into Colorado, 6 o'clock, or I should say 7 o'clock, you've got the Maple Leafs at the Canadiens, Atlantic Division matchup there, 7 o'clock. Blue Jackets at the Rangers, also at 7. Pittsburgh heads into Washington. Tampa Bay hosts Detroit. Calgary visiting Winnipeg, 7:30 Eastern. The Islanders host the Sharks, 8 Eastern. Chicago welcomes in Vegas, Nashville, Minnesota, 9 Eastern. You've got Utah and St. Louis. And at 10 o'clock Eastern, Edmonton heads into Vancouver. And the LA Kings will pay a visit to the Seattle Kraken. That's your NHL slate on this Saturday. Again, the Panthers looking to close the gap between themselves and division-leading Toronto. So the Panthers with 2 points, they could potentially get to within one, depending on what happens between the Leafs and the Canadiens. Montreal's been beating some good teams lately, and they're up to 4 games over Hockey 500, putting themselves back into the playoff conversation. That's it for this edition of Panthers Insider. For Dan Day on the other side of the glass, would like to thank you for tuning in. Thanks to Uvis Balinskas of the Panthers for his time. Thanks to Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald for joining us in segment number 2. Panthers Ducks tonight at 6. I'm Doug Plagans. This has been Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.